Good morning and welcome, my friends. Fourth and final hour of our get-together. We call it the 9 o'clock stretch. 9:07, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top story, it is election day. Just take a few minutes out of your day. Make sure you get that done. Very, very important. And, of course, tomorrow morning we'll be talking about all the results, not just here locally, but statewide, and some elections that are taking place in other areas of the country that are pretty important. But for right now, we're going local. My longtime friend Mark Herm, former Gator football player, air conditioning, anything to do with engineering, all of that. I've known Mark a long time, but this is one of his passions. He is the chapter president over the last 15 years for Coastal Conservation Association. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mark Herm.
Oh, the crowd goes wild.
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, it is our pleasure. You've been doing this for a long time. Why won't you give somebody else a chance to be president? I don't know. It's like, sounds like a dictatorship, not really a presidency, Mark.
He's an authoritarian.
It is a volunteer position, and I volunteered for it a long time ago. And I really enjoy doing it. It is, in fact, a passion of mine to do everything I can to help preserve, you know, the natural resources we have. And it's just a great group of people. It's comprised of anglers, outdoorsmen, business people that have the same vision of taking care of our properties and our resources for our kids and our grandkids to come. And so that's what we're working on.
CCA is a 501c3 organization. You've got like 19,000 members. You've got all kinds of volunteers. You've got businesses that are obviously a part of this. So what is the mission?
Our mission, Bob, is to clean and protect our natural marine resources. That has to do with the oysters, the clams, the water cleanliness, algae problems that we've been battling and overcoming, and the fish, making sure that fish have been struck down by weather conditions, hurricanes, cold weather snaps. We've deployed an enormous amount of fish back into the waters. We've got artificial reefs. We got 51 artificial reefs since 2010. Just as a note, we've contributed over $26 million toward these efforts, and it just continues. We've got 205 habitat projects that are currently underway with replenishment of clams, oysters, and fish. 96 tons of trash have been removed from the waters from volunteers that we have. We call it trash days, trash fish days. And so we actually put 32 cubic yard dumpsters out there, and we fill them up, and we get volunteers, you know, wow, by the hundreds to come to a given shoreline, and we make an event out of it. And it's a lot of fun, and people enjoy it.
Yeah, and it makes a difference. It keeps our waterways clean. I mean, look, it's a big tourism thing, and for us who live here in Florida, you know, we all enjoy, you know, the coastline as well, and fishing, and you know, you got to protect them. Where you got snook and redfish, sea trout. You've restocked a lot of that stuff.
We have, Bob, and I should say, like you, I grew up here, and we've been here for a long time, and we've seen the transition going downhill and coming back uphill now. And we've replenished, 5,150 snook, 560,115 redfish, and 292,000 sea trout. This is huge.
Well, look, I moved to Florida when I was 15, so I'm familiar with around Boca Grande and fishing all around there in that area, and I know how important it is. Heck, I started so long ago, I remember when there wasn't even a limit on redfish.
That's correct. When back in those days, there weren't limits on anything.
Yeah.
It was just go out and catch what you needed, and it's kind of like the honor system, and some people were
abusing,
respecting it, and some people abused it. That's right.
And so you're in connection with some of the local marinas, too. Tell me about that.
We've got some participation with a lot of the marinas up and down the coastlines. Our local ones are Seahag Marina, Steinhatchee Marina, and those are the ones on the West Coast, and they do a fantastic job of participating with CCA. There are some others on the East Coast, some smaller marinas that are on there, and every one of our participating marinas and our corporate sponsors can be seen on our website if anybody has any desire to go take a look at it and see the huge number of people that participate.
And what about artificial reefs? Because I've been out on a boat, you know, with my friends Jim and Betsy, and they have coordinates, like, and they'll go out to where there was like a bridge sunk or stuff like that.
Yep.
And you know, the fish, they form their own little habitat right there.
They do. We have actually been very successful in taking the some of the old marine vessels and some of the military vessels, and been the orchestrator, if you will, of the sinking of those ships. And that's a lot of work. I mean, it takes a ton of paperwork to make sure the ships are prepared and decontaminated when they go down. They're not bringing oil to the surface, and all the paperwork and the location spotting and things. It's an immense undertaking.
Well, you've got a lot of volunteers. You've got people who are going to hear about this, and they might want to join the team. I hope they do. You have a banquet that's a fundraiser as well. I went to one. It was an absolute blast. I highly recommend it. Tell me about this fundraiser.
It's an annual fundraiser that we do every year. We call it our banquet, and it is a banquet and fundraiser. Next one will be September 10th. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m. at the Legacy Center in Alachua. We typically have a little bit close to 300-plus people. That's a good portion of our angling community. We'd love to have more. We've got the seating capacity. We can handle it. People can go online and get their tickets at our ccaflorida.org website and join us for the evening. It's a great time. You meet a lot of good people.
Now, you know, I haven't talked to you in a while. Is it still the format where you used to have so many prizes? You could, some are raffle, some are auction. I mean, but you had tables and stacks of, I mean, you look around, every single one of those goodies would be something you'd be happy to take home.
Absolutely. We have a ton of people that are very unique artists in their own right, and they donate products for us to raffle off on the silent auction as a fundraiser. We've got CCA, who provides a host of fishing, tackle, apparel, stand-up wakeboards, canoes, kayaks. There's various jewelry components there that are nautical in nature. It's just, like you said, Bob, it's an immense, diverse, I should say, spread of prizes and gifts that can be attained.
And that's put you on the spot, but you've always had really good food, too. Can you tell us about that?
We really work hard to make sure we bring a good menu to the table for the people. We typically stand to our seafood
kind of a menu.
What do you call that? With all the stuff that gets thrown in together, and I'm just drawing a blank on it right now. But anyhow,
potpourri, cornucopia.
Yeah, I don't remember what.
But anyhow, seafood stew.
It is. Yeah. No, we've got it where you've got the shrimp and the. And the sausages and the corn on the cob and
boil.
Thank you. The seafood boil. Anyhow, we typically go to that. We've got desserts and cookies and cakes and banana puddings and things like that and stuff. So it's, and the food makes it great. We've got a full bar, open bar at the event. It's just a great time. People really do enjoy themselves.
I know they do. And look, they have room. So if you hadn't gotten your tickets yet, go ahead and do that. Tickets and information at ccaflorida.com. CCAFlorida.org. It's coming September 10th. Alachua Legacy Center, beautiful building, great location, easy to get to. You guys are doing fantastic work, Mark. Anything else you want to add about Coastal Conservation Association?
No, just the fact that the CCA works diligently to preserve our resources, as I said. And, you know, it does take money. And so any of the people that come out, we look forward to having their contribution to whatever they can possibly do. They don't even have to come to the event if they didn't want to. If they just want to make a contribution towards CCA's efforts, they can do that right online as well. But we would prefer to see the faces. It's a great time. It really is. You'll see a lot of people you know, I promise you. We get a lot of local people that have been here for many, many years, and you'll know, anybody that shows up will know a bunch of them.
And it can all be part of our own collective legacy that you know you did something that your kids and grandkids and further on are going to benefit from and enjoy, because we have definitely beautiful things in our seaside communities to enjoy, no doubt about it. So, Mark, thanks again for all your hard work, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you guys for having me. I sure appreciate you. You guys have a great rest of the day.
Mark Herm, chapter president for CCA. For more information, go to ccaflorida.org. It is 9:17. Coming up, Cuban athletes say that The regime of Cuba tried to kidnap them after they defected. It's an interesting story. I'll share that with you coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Another gorgeous day in paradise, shaping up to be a bit warm. Make sure the AC's working.
Yeah, but now you got the urge to go fishing or something, I'm telling you.
Does it? Don't you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It does. Yeah, thanks to Mark and his great information, ccaflorida.org, for more information on taking care of the coastline and all the good work that they do. And the big fundraiser is September 10th, so you can get all that information on the website. And it was a pleasure to see Mark. He's, you know, physically had some ups and downs, but he's got good news that he was sharing with us. And so, yep. Good Lord, looking after him, and he's a good man, so we appreciate him. Cuba's communist regime allegedly attempted to kidnap a group of Cuban athletes who recently defected in the Dominican Republic. The athletes denounced the regime, and of course they left. And for decades, the Castro regime has maintained absolute control over the nation's athletes, using them in propaganda to falsely claim of the success of communism in sports, despite Cuba's recurring lackluster performance in international competitions. Cuban athletes permitted to travel abroad to represent their country at international sporting events are subjected to draconian surveillance to protect them. Or prevent them, I should say, from fleeing communism.
Because they really prefer one-way tickets to these sporting events. They want to go back home.
One of the reasons why I brought this up, I mean, it's an anecdotal story, but it just goes to show you, you have to defect. You have to run away. Is that what you want? Socialism/communism, where they try to hold you captive? Well, who in the world would actually be supportive of that? And look at some of the young people. They have these Che Guevara shirts on. Somehow they think there's a romantic view of this kind of communism, that somehow Cuba is this, it is a beautiful subtropical island.
Sure it is.
I mean, that's true, but the regime is awful. And I saw a meme, and it said, when they talk about, how terrible the United States is, some of these young people and all that, how much they, don't like the U.S. They're taught, I guess, to hate their own country. But somebody had a meme, something along the lines of, hey, let me know when a group of Americans hobble together some kind of raft and travel 90 miles of uncertainty over the ocean to get away. Then I'll know that we're, we are in a bad situation. So I thought that was interesting that, people risk their lives to leave Cuba, but yet there are young people, and not all of them are young. I mean, Bernie Sanders, no spring chicken.
He's as old as Cuba.
The level of just absolute incredible ignorance. I am not highly educated, but I've been blessed with a very logical mind, and it just defies all logic. Now, look, does capitalism, is it a perfect system? No. Here's the problem. There's no perfect system. And we're all human in our instincts, and greed is certainly one of them. But everybody determines their own level of what's considered greed. You can always point to someone else and say, now that guy's greedy. But there's always someone that has far less than you, and they could do the same thing to you. Really? Do you really need 3 cars, Bob? Let's leave me out of this.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah.
But the idea behind capitalism, really, it's opportunity. And under the Constitution, it's opportunity for everybody. Yes, we've come a long way. Yes, we were discriminatory. Yeah, women, blacks, well, the Irish when they first came here. I mean, but we were discriminatory, and that was bad. I think we've overcome that for the most part. So here we are, the land of opportunity, really at a time when Americans, you would think, could be or should be united. America is doing great. Do you understand? The rest of the world, they're having a lot of economic issues. And if you live at the poverty line in America, you have a lifestyle that is better than almost 3/4 of the rest of the world at the poverty line. Doesn't that tell you anything? And yet these people promoting this socialism, and I don't know. I mean, you say, you know, they need to be educated. And it's like, well, that's where some of this brainwashing took place.
Yeah, they went to school.
They were supposed to be getting an education, and they got a brainwashing instead. So anyway, so it's interesting. They escaped to these athletes in Cuba to Dominican Republic, and the Cuban regime was trying to figure out a way to steal them back, so to speak, to kidnap them. And, you know, luckily everything worked out and the athletes are free. Isn't that, though, you think about it, a regime that'll hunt you down and kidnap you if you try to escape?
And you're leaving where you were raised, you're leaving friends, you're leaving family just to try to find a better way of life.
Right.
And risk it all to do that.
Right. That gives you an idea of, I don't know, a level of desperation.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy. We talked about this a little bit. The Lakers for sale, the basketball team, and I believe they made a deal. Wasn't it? What was it? Crazy. Something like $32 billion.
It was a lot of
money. It was unbelievable. Well, apparently the Jeannie Buss reportedly opposes the sale of the Lakers to Bob Iger and Josh Kushner, adding that her siblings cannot sell their stake without her approval. So I guess there's a little bit of... the whole deal could be in somewhat of a jeopardy.
A glitch.
There.
Yeah.
Not really going to make much of a difference, I think, to the average person.
No.
Who owns the multi-billion dollar franchise?
Yeah.
It is 9:28 right now on the Bob Rose Show. This morning is flying along. Greg Cassidy is here. In about 10 or 15 minutes, we have things that make you smile. We've got your top stories lined up next on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. It is 9:36. Some of your top stories, the 60-day window for a U.S.-Iran peace deal and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz expired without an agreement, prompting threats from President Trump toward Oman. He said he would bomb the S out of them if they keep, you know, meddling. They're supposed to be our friends, and... maybe they're hampering these mediation efforts and leading Iran to believe that somehow there's going to be like a toll system that Oman and Iran are going to make money off of this deal. Mm-hmm. That ain't going to happen. And here's what the president said about one of the key issues.
We have a blockade. We control it with a blockade. And I like the idea of declaring it a territory.
Ooh. A territory?
Look at that. Stir the pot.
U.S. territory. I like it. The U.K. Maritime Trade Operations reported a commercial ship was hit by an unknown projectile in the Strait of Hormuz, causing engine room damage and, oh, I didn't see this earlier, crew casualties. So, yeah, but an unknown projectile, kind of interesting, like they're not sure what it is or where it came from, but it killed one of the seamen on board there. Gaza talks have been stalled. Jared Kushner concluded a series of diplomatic meetings in Jerusalem with regional leaders without achieving a breakthrough on the stalled U.S. proposal to end the war. So kind of a stalemate there. And a continuation from a story we talked about yesterday, President Trump announced plans to scale back joint military exercises with South Korea. And, of course, people are scrutinizing that and raising questions about future regional deterrence posture, because we were very strong, very committed to, you know, South Korea, Japan, for instance. But I don't know, something went astray a little bit with South Korea. The president had certain expectations, I guess, of them when it came to, you know, how they're treating Iran and the oil and things like that. And maybe they haven't followed through the way they said they would, I guess, initially. I think that's part of the problem anyway. Also, maybe he doesn't want to rub Kim Jong-un the wrong way until he can kind of get this other scenario under control. That could be part of it as well. All right. Listen, you like it when, you know, young people take some initiative, maybe entrepreneurial spirit, things like that. you're going to college, you know. Maybe you're even in a frat or, you know, sorority. And, you know, these kids sometimes have, let's be honest, some of them are a little spoiled. They have it made.
A little bit, yeah.
These kids were hard working, man, and now they're in trouble.
Uh-oh.
You got to make sure that what you're working on is legal.
Oh, there's a detail.
That's the thing. Yeah. I don't know if any of them are law majors. Well, they're not going to be now.
Oh, no.
More than a dozen Penn Staters, the Nittany Lions, charged in connection with an alleged massive cocaine distribution ring.
What?
As one of the... Yes. Cocaine.
Oh,
as
man.
One of the alleged ringleaders, Augustino Abitello, 24, of Westbury, New York, remains at large.
Wow.
Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday announced that he is among 14 people who are facing charges related to the coke trafficking operation where students and two off-campus fraternities were allegedly involved. In all, 13 defendants were Penn State University students at or around the time of the alleged conduct in 2023 and 2024. The 14th defendant, the father of a student, is charged with tampering with evidence and hindering the investigation.
Unreal.
In Monday's announcement, the AG said the suspects, Abitio and Thomas Robinson, they were the main coke suppliers. They allegedly made regular trips to Philadelphia and New York to pick up what they call large quantities of the illegal drug. Members of the Delta Epsilon and Sigma Chi fraternities allegedly cut and packaged the coke inside their frat houses off campus and distributed it to Penn State students.
I mean, we want you to be entrepreneurial, but, you know, try to keep it within the legal lines a little bit.
Yeah, and this is college, you get to that level, and it is serious charges and serious trouble. I mean, look, you're probably going to find where I would be amazed if any of them had any sort of a felony record.
Right.
So that is going to bode, you know, in their favor. But, you know, there's a lot of schools it won't take if you have a felony, like medical school.
That's
and
serious stuff.
And, you know, law, to get into law school, I believe, you got to be clean, too. Or,
well, you got to be nice, you know.
Well, and also, to get into, you know, when you're applying.
Right.
So, these young people are making some bad decisions, and they're in a lot of trouble. And they confirmed at least four of the men charged currently right now are current Penn State students. This was coordinated, highly profitable drug trafficking crew revolving around two senior members of the fraternities, other fraternity brothers, and pledges. Yeah, they said some of it was like part of your indoctrination, you know, for the pledge.
Uh-huh. Work for the coke company?
Yeah, to help package some of the cocaine.
So here's a crazy thought I know. If that's going to be the road you're going down in life, why bother going to college? Don't waste the money. Just go do your thing.
But you want to live amongst
your peers.
Your customers.
Customers. Oh, now I see. Location. Yes. Opportunity base.
Who wants the coke? They're right here.
Customer
base. They got
base.
Mommy and daddy's money.
Yeah. Okay.
A little booger sugar.
Wow.
On the weekends. Look.
What? Well, they've changed their lives.
What,
that's
Adderall's
for sure.
Not good enough for you? That's what I tell my kid. Adderall's not good enough for you? Huh?
If it's good enough for me, it's good enough for
you. Yeah. I mean, all kidding aside, obviously very, very serious.
Yeah, they've ruined their lives. I mean, seriously.
Possibility, but again, probably pretty well connected. Mommy and daddy. Look.
Good attorneys.
My kid got involved with that. Yeah, I'd smack the living daylights out of him. But at the end of the day, still your kid. You still want to be successful. You want to say, hopefully that's, you know, lesson learned. And you're going to employ attorneys to try to get the lightest sentence you can. And, I mean, you know, but
They're not going to get the entrepreneur medal of the year from the school, though. Probably.
I mean, why don't you start the next Facebook?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, something new, not the old school.
And you know, and it's bad because, you know, fraternities and sororities, the truth be told, but, you know, a lot of us joke about it and stuff like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, so many of those organizations do fantastic work. They really do. A lot of charitable work and stuff. And you never hear about that. You only hear when, you know, somebody gets out of line and does something stupid. So just keep that in mind. A lot of them do work hard and organize and, you know, put on great shows, and mm-hmm. what have they got over at UF, a big dance marathon thing, and they raised a lot of money for, what was it, Children's Miracle Network back in the day. I know my son was a part of that. So, yeah, they do a lot of great things. But, yeah, you get a couple of kids get out of line, and they all get a bad rap for it, I think. Speaking of entrepreneurial, start a little theme park in the backyard. Well, you got a farm.
Okay.
You know, out in Clay County where I live, if you go north of there, there's a little farm on the side of the highway that, you know, every fall they do a big thing for the kids and all that. And there's several areas where, you know, that kind of thing is common. So this is a farm in the United Kingdom, and they have this ride that you can get on. It looks a lot like kind of a big boat, and you get on it, and it you know, you ride on, and then at the end it tips up and everybody slides down. It turns into several slides. The problem is it's named the Titanic.
Okay.
And I guess some people all of a sudden developed a sensitivity to this idea. Now, how long do you think it would take for somebody to go, oh, why'd you name it the Titanic? There's that's not cool. You know, because the Titanic, where did it sail out of? Ireland or England back in the day? I think it was built in Ireland.
Yes.
1912. So, yeah, I mean, you could say, yeah, great-grandpa was on that boat, but, I mean, you kind of been, hopefully you're over it by now.
And nobody you knew was on the boat, yeah.
Right. Well, apparently they've had this thing in their on their farm, and kids have been paying $3 to ride the thing. It started in 1981.
Okay.
So the thing's been around for, like, what, 50 years, almost.
That's kind of, modern sensitivity? I don't know. What do you think?
I guess.
Nobody.
Well, it's, you know, some people decided, I guess, to be offended. Now, is it in the best taste to do that? I mean, on one hand, 1,500 people did lose their life.
Yes.
I mean, that was awful.
Yes.
And it was big, and it was a big tragedy, and we're still talking about it today, and they made movies about it, et cetera. But, I mean, at some point, I guess the issue is it's done in poor taste, but...
Is it really offensive?
It's the kids I guess they're using as an excuse to say, oh, do you really want to... What message are you sending to the kids that, you know, if one of your family members dies in a tragedy, it's only a matter of time somebody will make an amusement ride out of it?
Well, maybe they'll ask about the Titanic and learn some history.
That's the way I'd like to look at it. That's how you learn more.
You let them know why it's named what it is and what really happened and the tragedy that it was.
What does Astor, Florida have to do with the Titanic, you might ask yourself, if you've been through Astor, Florida, which is basically where Silver Springs, State Road 40, crosses over the river there, the St. John's. And the story behind that, I'll just give you the real quick version. John Astor was a multi-mega millionaire.
Yep.
He died on that ship. His grandson inherited a bunch of stuff, including that patch of land that we know as Astor. But he never really developed it. He really never did anything with it. But at least you know a little bit of background about an area that you might travel through in Florida.
That is interesting.
A lot of history.
Yeah. This morning is flying by.
Yeah. You can tell. My batteries are running low. But I'm going to hang in there.
Well, there's some optimistic things coming ahead, Bob.
You know what I need?
What do you need?
I need someone to pump me up with something that would make me smile.
I like that.
Call now. 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile. Brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. Call now. 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile. Next. Ah, beautiful day. Hey, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9:51. Time for things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts that you share with us and we share with you. Brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now, 877-975-9825. And let's go to Awesome Pete. What's making you smile?
Hello. What makes me smile is finding amazing books. And you mentioned people escaping America to go to Cuba. There's a book that I got called The Forsaken, about a group of men during the Depression who decided to go to the workers' paradise in Russia, and they found out it wasn't as good as the Depression in the U.S. And that makes me smile, finding amazing books.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Books make me smile.
Well, you know, it's really cool because we've gotten to the point where now we read so many things digital, but it's like they say that even psychologically, you know, holding on to that book, the smell of the paper, all the ink, all those kind of things, you really absorb and you get into what you are reading a whole lot better.
Yes, indeed. As Greg knows, when I'm preparing for the show, mm-hmm. and he gives me important information, and then he looks and he goes, "Oh, you're not listening, are you?" Uh-huh. I said, "I can't."
That's right.
I can't do both.
Right.
Some people can walk and chew gum.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Let's go to Mark. Good morning. What's making you smile?
Hey, Bob and Greg. What's making me smile is during today's Bob Rose show, I got a little multitasking done while still listening to the show. I voted, I bought some groceries, and I donated a perfectly functional alternator to Rudy's Auto Service up here in Brantford because I just had it and I replaced it incorrectly. So I did a few good things during your show today. Thanks, guys.
It's about time that you were productive, Mark. Just kidding.
Mm.
No, that makes me smile. You know what else makes me smile?
What's that?
President Trump giving accolades to a hero, that 16-year-old kid, because really, right? 16?
Oh, yeah.
16-year-old kid who's a lifeguard in an important position with a lot of pressure on you. Yeah, just go out there and save lives, kid. And he actually did. Yep, he saved this 10-year-old boy. This was in Santa Cruz, California. You've probably seen the viral video by now. But you know what? The president said, you know, why don't you come here to the White House? Both him and the 10-year-old who was drowning. And he said, yeah, you're going to have good luck in life. And Trump also said that, you know, he's a real hero and said God was watching.
Wow.
And I love that kind of thing, you know?
Yep. I got a quick one.
Yeah.
Today, my pastor, Pastor Chris, it is his birthday today. So if you see him, maybe text him, email him, wish him a happy birthday from all of us.
Happy birthday, Pastor Chris.
That's right.
See, I did it.
Good job.
All right.
You did your part.
I did.
There you go.
Actually, I put it on the book of faces, too.
Well, that's nice.
All right. Good morning, Rosebud. What's making you smile?
What's making me smile? I just got through with my polling place, doing my civic duty, and it's filled up. I mean, people are here. We need to make the right choices in this primary for our governor and for some of our other candidates. I'm glad that everybody's out doing it. And God bless America, man. Have a nice day, boys. I got to go.
All right, Rosebud, you take care. Yeah, Rosebud, it's not always easy for him to get out and about.
Right.
He made the effort.
Yes.
Nobody else has an excuse. Get out there. Today is the day. If you haven't voted already, I believe polls should be open until 7 p.m.
That's correct. Yep.
And come on, get it done.
I know that we're all planning on it today. My wife was asking me about it. My mom was asking me about it, making sure. Because if you do the early voting, sometimes you go to a different place. Then when you do day of voting,
your actual
it's
precinct.
The one in your precinct or your district. And
right.
So it gets a little confusing. If you're used to doing early voting and then you show up at that place today, it's probably the wrong one. So just kind of make sure you look ahead of time.
This is kind of an offhanded sort of makes me smile. It only makes me smile because I told you right from the get-go that Swalwell was a slime ball.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he definitely was. And now they have records that declassified some files where he admitted having relations with Fang Fang.
Well, looky there, Bob. You were right again.
Yep.
And that makes Bob smile.
He is such a slime bucket.
He really is.
But
oh, well.
But we're trying to keep it positive.
That's
and upbeat.
Right.
Coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith, Guns and Range in Micanopy. That is next. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith, Guns and Range in Micanopy. Three people have been the victims of recent beaver attacks in Maryland, and one of those individuals was a little girl. Yeah, and here's part of the problem, that some of these beavers,
yeah,
have tested positive for rabies in the area.
Ooh.
It seems as though park rangers are handling it and everybody is okay. They've closed down the lakes and the camping. It's a little worrying, though, but it seems like they have it under control. Oh, beavers, they can be cute and cuddly, but not if they're rabid. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, the person who wrote the story for Breitbart, her name is Amy Furr. And I don't have to make these things up. And that becomes your smoking gun. The smoking gun brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range and Micanopy. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Get out and vote. Have a great day. See ya.